singing Alleluia, Alleluia, Alleluia. Praise the Lord together, singing glory to God, glory to God, glory to God.
If you would please stand and join us for our act of praise this morning. This is number 738 in your hymnal. We will be singing response number 2.
Like a tree that's planted by the water, we shall not be moved. Like a tree that's planted by the water, we shall not be moved.
Blessed are those who do not walk in the counsel of the wicked,
or stand in the way of sinners,
or sit in the seat of scoffers,
but their delight is in the law of the Lord.
And on God's law they meditate day and night.
They are like trees planted by streams of water that yield their fruit in season, and their leaves do not wither.
In all that they do, they prosper.
Like a tree that's planted by the water, shall not be moved.
The wicked are not so, but are like chaff which the wind drives away.
Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous.
For the Lord knows the way of the righteous,
but the way of the wicked will perish.
Like a tree that's planted by the water, we shall not be moved.
Please remain standing and sing with us number 160, Rejoice, Ye Pure in Heart.
Of Christ your King.
God's people say, amen. Amen. And let us continue in our worship by affirming our faith, number 881, the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead, and he ascended into heaven, and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. For our time of prayer this morning, I'd like us to still lift up our joys and concerns, but then when we pray, we'll pray together. When I say, Lord, in your mercy, I'll invite you to respond, hear our prayer. So what are your, besides we have several on the back of the bulletin, so please take note of those. Are there any others that you'd like to make your, make
Jones
no, the Jones family? Where's mine?
I have a praise report. I have a new great-granddaughter. She was born on the 16th day of February.
Ah, praise God and congratulations.
We're doing well. I said, how's the dad?
Oh, thank you. Others? All right, let us pray. Wonderful Almighty God, grant that all who believe in you, who seek to do your will, may be united by our common love of Jesus. Let us live together in your love and reveal your glory in the world. Lord, in your mercy, guide all the people, not only in this nation, but of all nations, in ways of justice and of peace. Help us honor each other and serve one another. Lord, in your mercy. Gracious God, give us all a reverence for the earth as your creation, that we may take good care of it in the service of others and to your honor and glory. Lord, in your mercy. Bless us all as our lives are so closely linked. Grant that we may serve the Christ in one another and serve the Christ in all who we meet, so that we can love one another as Christ loves us. Lord, in your mercy, comfort and heal all those who suffer in body, mind, or spirit. For the Jones family, for Mabel, for Bamba and Ava, for Fred and Alice, for Jimmy and Braylee and Carol, Jane and Sally, Kaylee and Kathleen and Natalie, and those that we name silently in our hearts now. Give these courage and hope in their troubles and bring them the joy of knowing the depth of your love for them. Lord, in your mercy. And gracious God, we ask your blessings on the communion of saints, all who have died. We give you thanks for their witness to us and pray that you give us the grace and courage to share the testimony and witness of our love for Jesus forward into this world. Lord, in your mercy, we offer all of these prayers in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, our Savior, our friend, our teacher who taught us to pray together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. When we give of our offerings, I know it's just no thrill to give to overhead, to light bills and water bills and salaries. But what I want to remind you of is that when we give to the overhead here, we are also equipping ourselves to be in outreach to the community. So please, as you give, keep in your prayers and pray during this offering time for ways that we're going to be in outreach to this community, in particular, camp in the community coming up. And then what we will do following, how can we especially be in ministry with children? Let us pray. Good and gracious God, thank you for asking us to participate in what you're doing in this community. Give us the eyes to see, the ears to hear, the will to discern what you'd have us do. In Christ's name, amen.
Standing and sing with us number 377, It Is Well With My Soul.
Um. one of my favorites. Hear now a reading from the prophet Jeremiah, chapter 17, verses 5 through 10. Thus says the Lord, cursed are those who trust in mere mortals and make mere flesh their strength, whose hearts turn away from the Lord. They shall be like a shrub in the desert and shall not see when relief comes. They shall live in the parched places of the wilderness in an uninhabited salt land. Blessed are those who trust in the Lord, whose trust is the Lord. They shall be like a tree planted by water, sending out its roots by the stream. It shall not fear when heat comes, and its leaves shall stay green. In the year of drought, it is not anxious, and it does not cease to bear fruit. The heart is devious above all else. It can be perverse. Who can understand it? I, the Lord, test the mind and search the heart to give all according to their ways, according to the fruit of their doings. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Holy Spirit, fill me. Send your spirit to be in me, on me, made known through me. Send your spirit upon all of us in this place, and I ask that your Holy Spirit mingle between my lips and your hearers' ears, that our hearts will be searched by you and found connected and found trusting in you. Speak through me, and if not through me, in spite of me, but let your word be heard and proclaimed. In Christ's name, amen. Okay, so I want to do a little something first called define our terms. Sometimes our churchy language brings with it, we apply to it our own baggage from our histories and certain meanings. And so for the purpose of this time this morning, I want to say that when we hear salvation, when I'm talking about salvation, one of the root words for salvation is the same as for wholeness. So I'm talking about not being saved from hellfire and damnation, okay? I'm talking about being saved from what the psalmist and the prophet Jeremiah are talking about, our turned inwardness, that sin of self-centeredness, of paying attention to only ourselves, thinking that we're the be-all, end-all. Jeremiah says, trusting in mere mortals and making flesh their strength. So salvation is an opening up, a wholeness, being fully alive and fully human, and being saved from ourselves and our self-consumptive ways. And when you hear the word blessed, what the psalmist and all three of these texts really this morning are talking about, it means happy. But not happy like, I'm happy, I got some new shoes. It's happy like I'm deeply contented. You know, because happy new shoes lasts for about a week. But deeply contented is like being planted with deep roots by a river. It can't be taken away from me. And prosper is not meaning being rewarded for obedience materially. Rather, prosper means to thrive. Think of that shrub planted by the river. It thrives no matter what's going on. It's a thriving and a stability and strength we get from our constant maintained connectedness with God, which in turn then helps us to grow and bear fruit. The texts this morning, the Psalm 1 that we read responsively, this Jeremiah passage, and the Luke passage that we'll read in just a minute, all speak in, they're almost too obvious to preach, which is a real danger. My father-in-law loves to say, When you preach, you should stand up, say it, sit down, and shut up. That's Bob Flynn all around. And that's the temptation for and danger for the preacher this morning, is to kind of let the text speak for themselves. But that opens us up to a danger of just stopping at some sort of sappy, over-spiritualized, it's only about me, 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 rather than exploring the fullness of these texts and what is being said through them, which is the not only for our salvation, but the salvation of the world. So let's start first with a little history to all three of these texts, particularly Psalm 1 and Jeremiah. See, Psalm 1 and Jeremiah would have been Jesus' Sunday school lessons, right? There wasn't an Old Testament. It was just a testament. It was his Bible, his scripture. So he would have been well-versed. He would have been schooled in the Psalms and the prophets. So the Psalm, for example, and Jeremiah both speak to this blessed are you, or happy are you, right? Psalm 1, written some 2,500 years ago, is talking about happiness. We are still talking about happiness. I've become aware of a podcast by Gretchen Rubin called The Happiness Project. I guess she did something for a year and wrote a book about it, and now has a podcast about it. There's somebody else called, what's his name? Dan Harris, who was a reporter, a news reporter, who actually had a panic attack meltdown on live TV. And so he's got something now called 10% Happier. And it's all about being mindful and not being anxious. They both get to this, the same thing that the psalm is trying to get to. What's going to help me go deeper and have this unshakable contentedness in my life? There are even new academic disciplines about happiness. There's a happiness studies with its own academic journal. Let me see what this is called. The Journal of Happiness Studies, an interdisciplinary forum on subjective well-being. It looks at what people think and feel about aspects of their lives, their income level, their relationships, their health, their career, and so on. But as it says, it's subjective. It's the things that can come and go and not be taken away. There's also now something called positive psychology. And I find it comforting that the Bible speaks to something that people today in the 21st century are so interested in and concerned about. It speaks to the timelessness of the scripture. And there again, in Jeremiah, there's a reason that the prophet focuses on fruit and behaviors. Jeremiah lived in a time, he's also talking about happy are or blessed are. And he's doing that because he's speaking a word to the nation of Israel during a time where they have forgotten that they had this great relationship, this great history with God, and they've forgotten about all the things that God has done for them. And they're in a time where they're under kings, and the kings don't really, they're not so concerned with doing what God wants to do. They're very concerned with nationalistic priorities like amassing wealth and land and conquering, a very secular type of concern. So Jeremiah is giving the nation of Israel a strong reminder. He's saying, God wants you to thrive and to prosper, to be contented and not be anxious. All of this is yours. This is abundance. But you can cut yourself off from God's abundance by forgetting to trust in God, by only trusting in yourself, and only trusting in those things that you rely on to give you a false sense of security. So Jesus would have been drawing on these ideas from Scripture. What is happiness? What is blessedness? When He speaks these words in the Gospel of Luke. This is what he would have learned and memorized in Sunday school class. So what echoes of Psalm 1 and of Jeremiah do you hear in these words here? From Luke chapter 6, verses 17 through 26. I'm reading the version called The Message. Coming down off the mountain with them, he stood on a plain, surrounded by disciples, and soon was joined by a huge congregation from all over Judea and Jerusalem, and even from the seaside towns of Tyre and Sidon. They had come both to hear him and to be cured of their ailments. Those disturbed by evil spirits were healed. Everyone was trying to touch him. So much energy surging from him, so many people healed. Then he spoke, "You're blessed when you've lost it all. God's kingdom is there for the finding. You're blessed when you're ravenously hungry. Then you're needy for the messianic meal. You're blessed when the tears flow freely. Joy comes with the morning. Count yourself blessed every time someone cuts you down or throws you out, every time someone smears or blackens your name to discredit me. What it means is that the truth is too close for comfort, and that that person is uncomfortable. You can be glad when that happens. Skip like a lamb, if you like. For even though they don't like it, I do. And all heaven applauds. And now that you know that you are in good company, my preachers and witnesses have always been treated like this. But it's trouble ahead if you think you have it made. What you have is all you'll ever get. And it's trouble ahead if you're satisfied with yourself. Yourself will not satisfy you for long. And it's trouble ahead if you think life is all fun and games. There's suffering to be met, and you're going to meet it. There's trouble ahead when you live only for the approval of others, saying what flatters them, doing what indulges them. Popularity contests are not truth contests. Look how many scoundrel preachers were approved by your ancestors. Your task is to be true, not popular. Thanks be to God for the gift of this gospel lesson. So Jesus has the same message. Did you hear echoes of Jeremiah and the psalm coming through? Abundance is in store. Happiness, blessedness is in store for those who know that they are dependent, who know their limits, their limitations, who understand, yes, there's this self-reliant thing and personal responsibility, but there are things that are beyond me that I need help with. And all the things I can secure for myself are fleeting. The trouble ahead is translated in other versions as woe to you. So he gives us four blessings and four woes. Jesus reiterates the dangers of overemphasizing self-reliance, being lulled into a false sense of security. And just like the religious folk of Jeremiah's time, the religious folk of Jesus' day, here we sit. We need to hear the same message. We need to wake up to the consistent message of Scripture that we have a choice. Happiness is a choice. We have a choice about how we live. We have a choice about our happiness, our blessedness. The choice is ours. And the truth of this message is, if we're not changing and allowing Jesus' words to mold us, then we are like the tumbleweed just chasing wind and blowing around a desert town. Psalm 1, Jeremiah, and Jesus in Luke invite us to choose. There are two ways, a way of being blessed and a way of separating yourself, disconnecting from God. Will we choose God's way, or will we choose to go our own way? Will we choose a way that promises life and abundance, or a way that chooses death? And by death, it means separation from God. Because literal death, when we cease breathing on this earth, according to Christians, according to Christianity, is not the worst thing. The worst thing is eternal separation from God. And we're even given some guidelines so that we can figure out which way to go, the way of life or the way of death, the way of blessedness or the way of woe. Two Hebrew words in the psalm, the roots that underlie justice and righteousness are found. They constitute a summary of what we see throughout Scripture, what God wants. Justice and righteousness are the basic things that God wants from us, the basics of God's will for us to attend to them and to provide for the poor, the weak, and the needy, to do justice, to love kindness, to walk, not believe, but walk humbly with God. In his parables, Jesus teaches us that difference. Jesus is calling the disciples to act, not to just navel gaze, not to just stop at, okay, I can figure out what will make me happy, but to see and understand that there is a double blessing involved. If I choose the way of blessedness, not only am I unshakably content with deep roots, but my actions will show that, and then other people will be blessed as well. It's this funny thing about God's economy. And Luke is all about telling us about how Jesus is here to renew and invert the world's way of doing things. The world is not the way it's supposed to be. The world is not what God wanted when God set it up. Jesus' Sermon on the Plain speaks of the way that the world is supposed to be. It speaks of the hungry and the poor being examples of those who are filled, of those who are get it, and of the importance and of not only their salvation, but our salvation and how ours is tied up in theirs. So there's this movie that I had never heard of until this last week called The Grand Canyon. I probably never heard of it because it was made in 1991, or it came out in 1991, and that's when my first child was born, so I was all consumed with her. The movie The Grand Canyon takes place in a Los Angeles that is really depicted as kind of a dark place. It highlights the vast socioeconomic gaps between the rich people who pile up bulwarks and fortifications of money and distance themselves to protect themselves from the dangers and their fears around poverty and despair. And the story is about this guy, Kevin Kline, plays this affluent guy who's driving home through a bad part of town, and his fancy BMW breaks down. And so he calls a tow truck, but while he's waiting, a gang of bad guys see him turn around and confront him, and they're waving a gun, and they're threatening him. And just then, Danny Glover pulls up. He's the tow truck driver. And so he gets in the face of the lead gang guy and tells him to get lost. And he says to Kevin Kline's character, "You know, I'm supposed to be able to do my job without asking those guys if I can. That dude is supposed to be able to wait. Kevin Kline's supposed to be able to wait with his car without having fear of being ripped off. Everything's supposed to be different than what it is. The rich, the full, the jovial, the poor, the weeping, the hungry, we are all interconnected with one another." Luke's gospel shows us that, yeah, the world isn't the way it's supposed to be, but that salvation breaks through into that world. And it breaks through now. And it's experienced. It breaks through in community and belonging. Today, Jesus reminds us that we are participants. Luke's gospel instructs disciples that they are participants in divinely directed shifts toward renewal in this world. Today, Jesus reminds us that we can choose to be participants in this divinely directed, transformative Christian witness right now, that we can start where we are and we can change the world where we are. Do you believe it? It's amazing to me how this whole economy of God works. How if I do the thing that makes me blessed, then the poor and the hungry and the weeping will be blessed too. If my heart is found aligned with God's heart, the things I do will bear fruit. That means if we collectively make our trust the Lord, and I love that distinction. Jeremiah says, whose trust is in the Lord, and then he corrects and says, whose trust is the Lord. We make the Lord our trust, then this church has the capacity to change lives for the poor and the hungry in Rockwood. Did you know that Ridgeview Elementary, just 1.6 miles from this church, has hunger and poverty issues among its children? It's 1.6 miles away. That means those children are our immediate neighbors. They live in our neighborhood, the neighborhood of this church. Here's what I've learned. The staff and faculty keep clothes for the children because the children don't have long pants or long sleeve shirts for wintertime, or they show up in the same clothes and the clothes are dirty. That the staff and the faculty collect quarters for families so they can give them rolls of quarters so that they can go to the laundromat. But it's hard to go to the laundromat because many don't have transportation. The children come to school hungry. 115 weekend bags get sent home out of about 500 students. I've been racking my brain, Lord, how can this church build relationships with this community? How can we impact? How can we have a difference? What can we do that will allow us to not just give stuff and money, but to get to know, to have fellowship, because that's community. That's where Christ is transmitted from person to person. What can we do that we can form relationships that we might feed them physically and spiritually? My grandfather used to do all kinds of inner city mission work, and he would say, you can't expect them to be fed spiritually if their stomachs are rumbling. I want to start a laundry ministry. It won't let go of me. I'm like, okay, Lord, how? I told my husband, and he's like, oh my gosh, that won't let go of me. My husband's the pastor of First Methodist in Oak Ridge, and he's already committed. I'll help you buy washers and dryers. We'll figure it out. I want to start a laundry ministry. I don't know how it'll look. I don't know where it will take place. I don't know what the details are. But I know that my trust is God. And God can do anything. So I just want to ask you to pray. Pray with me about what that might look like. What is God calling us to do together? Because if we pray, if we get on that same prayer page together, we're going to blow this place up for Jesus. That's all I want. I just want people to know they're loved and they matter. God will take care of the rest. So as we sing our closing hymn, I invite you to pray about laundry. What might that look like? Thanks be to God. Amen.
In 16, rejoice, the Lord is King.
Go forth in the strength and power of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, knowing and carrying with you that his kingdom cannot fail. Amen.